WTAW News Time is 8:05. It's 53 degrees right now at the studios. We'll take a look at your forecast coming up after the news. Brought to you by Tradition Oil and Lube, your full-service oil and lube shop on Villa Maria at 2818 next to Rally Car Wash, or at East William J. Bryan next to the main post office. Good morning, I'm Patrick Zeinert. The better part of 2 hours was taken at last night's Bryan City Council meeting on streets and sidewalks. There was a 5-2 vote to give a developer up to $142,000 for a trail going around the former Kemp School, which is now an office building, and vacant land for future homes. Rafael Pena, whose district includes that property, voted no because he wanted the money to go towards building another trail from behind Forest Park Apartments to the current Kemp Carver.
You know, we're looking into a trail that's going to service this kids who go from behind Forest Park Apartments on Saunders down to Bruin Trace to go to school.
Pena and Al Sines, who also voted against the Ronnie Jackson Trail, continued their attempt to convert East Martin Luther King from Texas to the freeway into a concrete street. Mayor Jason Byinski called on following staff recommendations.
When we've got street like 26th Street and other streets in all the districts that are in worse shape, and it's underwater right now, so people have to drive through almost yards just to get around the area.
The council eventually voted unanimously for $3.5 million of new concrete streets as recommended by city staff. Today's meeting of the Texas A&M System Board of Regents includes familiar names in new places.
Personnel actions includes the appointment of a new dean of liberal arts on the flagship campus. Pam Matthews has been interim dean since last July, and before that, vice provost for academic affairs has been nominated to take over on a full-time basis. Regents will also consider naming a building for an Aggie from the class of 1886. Frederick Giesecke was 17 when he received the first of 2 degrees from A&M. His career at the flagship campus included creating the state's first formal program in architectural education. In 1928, he began an 11-year run as director of the Texas Engineering Experiment Station. During that time, he designed and oversaw the construction of the Academic Building, the Chemistry Building, the Williams Building, Cushing Library, and Hart and Walton Halls. The Regents have been asked to name TEIS' new engineering research building in South College Station for Dr. Giesecke. Bill Oliver, Newstalk 1620 WTAW.
When the U.S. Special Operations Team trains in Brazos County this August, they'll have company from the Texas State Guard. Governor Abbott has announced an order he's given to the Guard commander, which you can read on our website at WTAW.com. In a news release, Abbott says the order is, quoting, to ensure that Texans' safety, constitutional rights, private property rights, and civil liberties will not be infringed. The governor's announcement follows opponents saying the training is a prelude to martial law. Those involved in Jade Helm 15 will be training at the Teeks Firefield and the Texas A&M Riverside campus. Proclamations during last night's Bryan City Council meeting included Friday night's Relay for Life. Event chair Jennifer Newsom says the relay has been moved to the Brazos County Expo due to the weather.
As of today, we've raised over $86,000 and well on our way to a goal of $140,000.
At the last check on their website, there are 56 teams and 463 participants for the relay on their Facebook page. Online Luminaria sales end this morning at 10. WTAW News Time is 8:08. It's 53 degrees. This look at news brought to you by Tradition Oil and Lube. More news at 8:30 or anytime at WTAW.com. I'm Patrick Zeinert, News Talk 1620 WTAW.
Be good to your vehicle, and it'll be good to you. Hi, I'm Gabriel Garcia from Tradition Oil and Lube. And while that's a simple concept, it's so true. We're a full-service oil and lube shop with years of experience, and that experience tells us to always go the extra mile for our customers, like topping off fluids for free on most vehicles and free tire pressure checks.
See Tradition Oil and Lube on Villa Maria at 2818 next to Rally Car Wash or at East William Joel Bryan next to the main post office.
It's 8:09, our Brazos Valley weather forecast. It's brought to you this morning by Barker's Heating and Cooling, your home for Lennox products, keeping your family comfortable all year long. That's Barker's Heating and Cooling.
Mostly sunny skies and breezy through today, just a few passing clouds. Temperature this afternoon, low to mid-70s. For tonight, it's clear. We drop back into the mid-50s. Looks like it warms up here for the end of this week. Mostly sunny skies continue on Thursday and close to 80, mid to upper 50s with clear skies during Thursday night, and more sunshine and warm weather on Friday, about 80 to 85. I'm Gary Best, News Talk 1620 WTAW.
There you go. It's 8:10. Let's go to D.C. and Bill Flores joins us. Good morning, Bill. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great, Scott. Good morning. It's great to be on News Talk 1620, and I apologize. We had a bit of our show this morning.
Well, I know you have other things that go on besides radio interviews. So
Well, we spoke to the Congressional Hispanic Leadership Institute this morning, and the Q&A period went way longer. It's one of those things where you just say, hey, I got to go and leave. And then the preacher that married my son and daughter-in-law was giving the prayer on the house floor, so I had to rush over there and see him for a few minutes. So,
let's talk about that. Thank you. Let's talk about that Hispanic Leadership Conference a little bit then. Just tell us a little bit about that, what its purpose is, and what's accomplished by you going there to speak with them.
Well, the Congressional Hispanic Leadership Institute is a group of business, primarily folks from the business community, that wants to talk about the impact of the Hispanic community on the nation's economy and how we can best recognize the power of the Hispanic community and also what they bring to the table for our country's economic growth. I'm part of the congressional board of that organization, and it's a bipartisan group. And so they asked me to be one of their featured speakers this morning.
I got you. Okay. Now, and also, something else to kind of help us with the D.C. culture, because, again, we're far removed from this. But there's been more and more talk about this free trade pact, which the president is trying to put together for the nations over Japan and the surrounding countries. And there's a lot of pushback and pull on this. So give us, as one member of Congress, kind of your feeling on what's good and what's bad about this, and where does it go from here?
Well, there's a lot of misinformation about what's in TPA, or Trade Promotion Authority, which is what the president wants. He wants to be able to fast-track trade deals. Under our Constitution, the president is free to negotiate a trade deal, but it has to be ratified by Congress. That has not worked out well historically, and so what presidents have tried to do is go to the Congress and say, hey, give me this scope of authority, and I'll go negotiate something. But then Congress will only have an up or down vote and won't be able to change it. Well, TPA is fairly the same, is fairly similar, but allows us to not only negotiate the Trans-Pacific Trade Partnership, but also the Transatlantic Trade Agreement, things of that nature. But now, the misconception about TPA is it gives the president broad authority, and that's exactly the opposite of what the case is. What we have in TPA, or what's in TPA, has been proposed by Paul Ryan, is a set of restrictions. And so there's about 150 different requirements that said, okay, Mr. President, you can go negotiate something on a fast-track basis and bring it to Congress, and as long as you achieve these requirements that we give you and you don't do anything outside of those requirements or restrictions, then you'll get a fast-track vote. And so Congress will have a certain amount of time to review it and then be able to vote up or down. So If you believe in economic growth and you believe in free trade, and if you believe in free trade, one of the best ways to do that is to have these free trade agreements with countries or blocks of countries or regions. And so TPA allows that to happen. Now, people always say, let me rephrase that. The rub here is that nobody trusts the president, and the president keeps taking unilateral executive actions, which he doesn't have the constitutional authority to do it. And so people are against the TPA because of that. And I have to agree that that's a problem. And then there are other people that think that we are granting lots of authority to the president when really we're not. It's a restrictive document, not an expansive presidential power document. So what we need to do is to make sure, A, we get the message out that what's really in TPA, and then, B, tell the president, if he really wants this passed, he's got to dial back some of the other things he's been doing. They're outside the scope of his constitutional authority. And I think if we can do those things, the TPA has a good chance of passage.
But that gets us away from the whole idea of the trade package and whether that's good or bad for the country. And, I mean, I know it's all about politics, and politics get played, but, I mean, good for the growth of the United States economy is something that has to be factored in here besides the politics, right?
Oh, absolutely, and that's the reason you have TPA, is so that you can have things like TPP, or the Trans-Pacific Partnership, mm-hmm. that you can negotiate those and get a vote in Congress, and we can put those arrangements in effect. Otherwise, China winds up becoming the dominant world trading partner, because they're negotiating these trade agreements with countries, and we're standing here not doing anything. And so if we really care about jobs and economic growth, then we try to get as many of these free trade agreements with the country so that we have free and fair trade with all of our trading partners versus the archaic system we have today.
Bill Flores is joining us this morning from D.C. Obviously, the Supreme Court's apparently sharply divided on the question whether the Constitution guarantees the right of same-sex marriage. They had oral arguments yesterday. I'd like to get any thoughts you have on that.
Well, the real issue, the core issue that the court was deciding, it was not whether same-sex marriage is legal or not, but is who gets to determine the definition of marriage. That's what the issue is that's on the table. Is it the states or is it a bunch of judges? And, you know, it's our position that under the Constitution, the states have the right that they've had since the founding of this government, and they get to decide what marriage is, and that the federal judges should not be part of the equation. So that's really what the situation is. I mean, there have been 50 million voters that have voted for traditional marriage in this country between a man and a woman because they feel like that's best for society, best for families, and best for children. And, you know, but you've got a series of federal judges that have overruled those votes that have been made by the American people. And so that's what the Supreme Court's trying to decide. And, of course, I hope that they will reaffirm that the states have the rights to define marriage, that their citizens see fit.
Story that happened, I guess, maybe 4 or 5 days ago, and hadn't necessarily seen anything else new on it. So your thoughts. John Boehner had kind of hinted to the fact that the full House may, in fact, subpoena the Hillary Clinton emails. Any movement on that?
Not that I've seen yet, but sometimes these things move a little slowly. But if Speaker Boehner said it, he'll get around. That's not the right wording. It will happen. It's just a matter of time. These things... You need to make sure that you cross the legal T's and dotted the legal I's when you issue these subpoenas so that you can actually compel somebody to produce the documents or to appear.
Bill Flores joining us this morning. I'd like to ask you about there's an organization running advertisements on our radio station actually asking you to take a stand on the Import-Export Bank because this renewal is coming up. We don't know much. I mean, as I understand the Import-Export Bank, it's out there available, a funding instrument available for businesses who want to expand their business. I've heard a little bit of pushback on this in the last couple of weeks that it doesn't need to be given money to Boeing and companies like that who have funds. What is your feeling as far as renewing the Import-Export Bank?
Well, in principle, I think the Export-Import Bank needs to go away. And if you go back to the discussions we had at the beginning of this conversation, when you negotiate free trade agreements, we ought to say that neither country that's part of a trade agreement and it gets to have a sovereign finance unit that's subsidizing the export sales of the businesses in their own country. And that's what the Ex-Im Bank is intended to do, is subsidize their export sales. In principle, I mean, that's corporate cronyism, and it needs to go away. The big question is, when does it go away? Does it expire when its charter runs out later on this year in May or June? Or does it stay in existence forever, or does it get phased out over time? GE and Boeing both say that they rely on it, and that doesn't make too big a difference to the folks in District 17. But what does make a difference is that there are about 1,800 jobs that belong to suppliers that supply Boeing and GE that say that they need it. And so I think that the XM needs to go away. The question is, when does it go away? I'm not sure why Club for Growth is running the ads in the district because all I've ever said publicly is it needs to go away. And just, you know, we need to find the right way to phase it out. And so I'm not sure why they've done it. They're spent over $100,000, and, if anything, it's given me pretty good name ID in the district. So, they really picked kind of an interesting target. They picked four members of Congress, and some are actually pro-XM, and I can understand why they go after them, but I'm not pro-XM, so I'm not sure why they're doing that.
Interesting. Bill Flores joins us every Wednesday. You can hear the interviews archived on our website at WTAW.com. Thanks for the time this morning, Bill.
Great talking to you, and I'd ask our listeners to continue praying for our country and our military men and women.
Certainly. Thanks a lot. Bye. It's 8:19. Let's turn our attentions to Austin, and John Rainey joins us. Good morning, John. How are you?
I'm doing great, Scott.
Great. Let's talk first of all about over the weekend, 90 of the 98 Republicans in the House of Representatives sent a letter over saying, we kind of like our tax plan that has to do with a cut in sales tax. Did you sign that letter?
Absolutely.
Okay, and so... you know, I mean, I know y'all like to be collegial whenever you can, but as we get ready to sit down at the table and the conferees, there's a marked difference in how we want to do the tax handling in Texas. The Senate obviously likes property tax relief, and that's fine. The House likes that, but you guys are kind of marching to the beat of sales tax reduction. So tell me, where are we on
this?
Well,
let me tell you why we're doing that, and this is what I believe in. Back in 06, when we had the margins tax was taken in, it was supposed to reduce property taxes. And by the end of the day, it did not really reduce property taxes because the county taxes went up, the city taxes went up, school district taxes went up. And we, in a dollar amount, we did not really have a reduction in property tax. We actually had an increase in property tax. So we think that the local government controls those taxing, the appraisal districts and the taxing rates, and that we really don't. So we're looking for a way to give tax relief to everybody in the state. And by reducing the sales tax from 6.25% to 5.95%, we have done that. Does anybody see, you know, a whole bunch of money in their pocket? Probably not, but in the total, it's going to be somewhere around, let's see, I've got the number down here somewhere, $4.9 billion in tax relief to the people of Texas. So I think that's a good deal.
Okay, now two thoughts. Obviously, when you sit down in that conference committee to negotiate, then maybe there ends up being a smaller number in between. Is that a reality, or is this going to be an all-or-none situation?
You know what? I think that yesterday, with the vote on the floor, I really feel like the Speaker was sending a message to the Senate, this is what we want, and we're going to stick with it. Now, I don't know that for sure, but he hardly ever votes on, I haven't talked to him personally, but he hardly ever votes on any legislation at all. And he did cast a two votes on that bill, one to table a change in the property tax, excuse me, the franchise tax, and then he voted on the bill itself. And I think that was a significant message. They're two different bills, but basically they're one tax cut.
Got it.
In other words, we have one for the franchise tax cut and a bill for the sales tax. I suppose that might be the reason some might think there could be negotiable items there, the reason they're separated. I don't know.
Bill, so that's so we'll see where that goes, but that will be interesting. Now, what are the things, though, John Rainey joining us from Austin, by the way. One of the things, though, there is I'm sure that you've got a county commissioner's court and you got some cities in your district that are going, well, you know, property taxes is kind of what we use to fund what we do. So if there's going to be a movement where that's not going to be funded quite at the rate that the cities and the county think it will, is the legislature going to do anything to plug that hole to bring that up?
I think that's why we are doing it the way we are, because they control that purse, and they should. So us trying to dictate what appraisal districts do and what the county and the city and the school districts do makes it pretty tough. And so I think what we're doing is laying in that where they have control of the appraisals and they have control of the tax rates.
Okay. Speak a little bit about the they seem to have made up a little bit after the breakfast battle, as it was called, that a lot of bills have been referred to committees, both Senate to the House and House to the Senate. Does it look like the things are repaired a little bit between the Lieutenant Governor's office or the Speaker's office?
I suspect they are, but, you know, that's kind of a typical thing from what I hear. It was last session it seemed to be late coming about that we started hearing Senate bills, and there was this rumble on the body, you know, they're not hearing our bills, so we're not going to hear their bills. I think that's over with. We're hearing them now, and they'll be being dealt with.
John Rainey joining us this morning. Now, you're on the Higher Education Committee, and I think today y'all are discussing the Senate bills that are designed to keep medical students in Texas. You know, the fear is that guys and gals go through medical school, and then right at the end, after we have educated them, they go off someplace else. So
we've done a lot with that, I don't have my numbers in front of me, but we increased the amount of money going to GMEs, graduate medical education significantly in the appropriations bill, and I think that's just carrying that forward in enabling legislation, I guess you would say. I think we need to keep our docs here in Texas. When they leave, there's a certain percentage of them that never come back, and we have a shortage of doctors. We have a shortage of dentists, particularly in rural areas, and I think that's important. I did want to make one other comment, though, before we end.
Mm-hmm.
My bill on board.
Oh, well, on having two members of on the Blinn board?
Right. Mm-hmm. Has been referred, and it's on a local and consent calendar, I think, tomorrow. And is it not tomorrow? Okay.
He's checking with his staff.
Yeah.
I understand.
Have to do that.
I understand
anyway,
that.
It's voted out, and we're going to deal with that soon. And Leighton Schubert, who is the representative for that Washington County area, mm-hmm. from Burleson County, has joined us on that bill, as the Senate version has also been signed on to by Swartner and Kolkor. So I think that's going to make that bill flow pretty easily.
All right, so all hands on deck as far as that
right.
looks to be. Okay.
Right.
And then can you tell me, I know it's not in your committee purview, but the House panel seems to be approving this idea of grading school districts with an A through F, but they're a little bit reluctant about that. Have you heard any talk in the hallways about that?
You know, I don't know. That's just maybe making it simpler for somebody to understand, but we have a grading system, and I think they're just trying to change it to, the way I understand it, change it to make it look like the grade system that we use for the kids.
Sure.
And I think that's all it is. Not sure how that's going to go. I think that's something that TPPF has been supporting, and I just haven't heard it on our side yet.
All right, well, we'll look forward to that. John Rainey joins us on Wednesdays. You can hear the entire interview archived on our website. I know you're busy right now. Go take care of that, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Good to talk to you, Scott.
All right,
bye-bye.
See you. Bye. All right. All right. Well, we got nothing else to do. Let's talk again. Mayor Barry, there we go, right there. Mayor Barry's here this morning. How are you today?
Terrific.
We're busy, busy, busy. All right, so let's kind of crank it to the city level. We haven't had you in since City Council decided to designate an area within Northgate, have six structures built to have six unrelateds living together. There's some pluses and minuses, but you, as one member of council, kind of give us an idea why you voted for this.
Well, I originally was opposed to it when I heard of six unrelated, but then it was the way we ended up passing it, which I think is a great compromise, is one person per bedroom. And it's one bedroom per parking spot. So our concern was the additional cars, that we're talking about a 700 or 800 person unit. And so there will be parking garage, and they will have one space per bedroom, and so there's only one person per bedroom. So that will alleviate some of the parking problem. And Northgate is designated as a high-density area. The idea is the more students we can put within walking distance to campus, the less traffic we're going to have on the roads.
And since you're the first member of council from College Station who's come in since we've talked about that, that's wonderful. I mean, that's you know, birds and flowers and all that kind of stuff, and that really looks great. But the bottom line is I'm going to bet that there might be some overnight guests in some of these places, and maybe even longer term than that. So, yes, you can say there's only one occupant per bedroom, but there might be times when there's more than one occupant per bedroom. And where are those people going to park? And then we're back to a parking on the street type of problem, I think.
There is that possibility, no question about it. But I think the way that these dorm rooms are established, it's not really very conducive to have overnight guests.
Okay, well, you know, and again, I want it to work, and I understand ultra-high density, and that has to be part of the city plan. But, I mean, let me just roll it out there. Is there any possibility that we may see the day when street parking is banned in Northgate simply because of the high density?
I don't think so.
Is your fire department happy with that?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
We did, for this particular property we're talking about, remove parking on one side of Cherry just so that the emergency vehicles can have enough room to put out their extensions.
Yeah, okay. Well, again, I mean, if your first responders are happy enough with it, then I guess I'm okay. I just, I've seen, though, in other neighborhoods in College Station where, again, the density, I think of in the Southgate area, you know, those used to be single-family houses and they're not anymore, and I think street parking is a real, real problem there.
It is in that neighborhood. There's no question about it.
Yeah. Now, is that the kind of thing, is it foreseeable that this ultra-high density is only going to happen in what are currently undeveloped areas in the future, or would we take that area that I just mentioned back on Grove Street and Fidelity in that area, and would you turn those into a situation where you could have that ultra-high density there?
Well, you'd have to...
And again, you're one member of council. I'm only asking your opinion as to whether that might happen.
If we were to have a high-rise and they had off-street parking, I think it's possible. It's not zoned that way correct now, so we'd have to change the zoning. And I don't see that happening anytime soon.
All right, and the other one's going to be on Jones Butler that you're going to do, which, again, is going to be new stuff. And so,
right.
So I certainly understand that. The other thing that you've discussed is that there would be an area for food truck parking. I don't know. It seems to be there's some discussion that right by the stack or where the old Albertsons used to be, where folks would know where IHOP is. Again, as one member of council, your thoughts on that?
Well, this is something that James Benham has brought forward, and I think it's a very interesting idea. We had a presentation and a workshop, and we asked staff to come back and talk about, you know, what zoning requirements would be. I think it would add an element of an attraction to Northgate that we don't have now, and they've been successful in other areas.
You know, and I appreciate, certainly, Councilman Benham has a lot of ideas.
He does.
An idea guy. There's no doubt about that. Now, you've spent a fair amount of time in your life in urban areas, and they, of course, I can remember food trucks in the Northeast for years. They're not quite what they are now, but, you know, there's not, let me see, how would I say this in a very nice way? Standing in a parking lot eating a piece of food out of a wrapped up paper thing is not the ambiance that necessarily you might enjoy, as opposed to if there were grass and tables and things like that. Do you have any other thoughts as to where this could happen?
Well, if it's a kind of permanent food truck area, you could put in picnic tables and the like, and, you know, umbrellas, and which is what we saw in the workshop presentation. So, you know, there's food truck parks and there's food truck parks. And
yeah.
I think, you know, we could design one that is more attractive because it gets hot in the summer. You don't want to be sitting out there eating in 100-degree
yes.
weather.
The caverns of the high-rises of Philadelphia, Market Street, are a lot nicer than an asphalt parking lot in July is what I'm thinking.
I
yeah.
think that's true.
If we can do something that would make it more... and again, I like that, but...
The devil's in the details.
Yeah.
If you get it right, it could be terrific.
Yeah. Have you, and I guess this thing is really kind of, it's a newborn, so we're not necessarily seeing pushback yet, but have you, as one member of council, gotten any pushback from any brick and mortars about this?
No, I have not.
Okay.
You know, it's going to be interesting to see how we discuss the zoning requirements and the operational requirements, and I think that's how we can regulate this so it could be, you know, a successful food truck park.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I want us to be a cool city and all that kind
yeah.
of stuff, but I want to make sure we protect the people who are making investments here. Where are we as far as the bond committee is concerned?
They are wrapping up their work. They are in the process now of ranking the projects. There was a meeting last week. We had committee reports from Teddy Ellison in transportation, and Tom Taylor in facilities, and John Denton in parks, and they went and talked about the projects that their committees looked at, and presented all of them to the entire committee, which was the first time the entire committee looked at all of them. And they're in the process now of ranking their projects and probably our second meeting in May, we'll get those recommendations from the committee.
Okay, we'll look forward to that.
And then we need to decide in August if we're having the bond election and what items we're going to put on it.
Okay. Anything else you got going today?
Yeah, Parks and Rec is having an open house this Saturday at the Lincoln Center from 9 to noon. You can learn about our summer youth programs, senior programs, special events, aquatics, athletic leagues, library programs, and even employment opportunities. And it's also a good opportunity to sign up early for swim lessons. And Lincoln Center is located 1000 Eleanor Street. And you can get more information at our website, cstx.gov/events. And while I'm talking about websites, the bond election, you can get more information about that at cstx.gov/2015bond.
Okay, and obviously that'll be updated as y'all move forward on that deal.
Correct.
All right, sounds good. Thanks for coming in this morning.
Always a pleasure.
That's Nancy Berry. She's the mayor of College Station. That's our community segment brought to you by Van Dyke Rankin Insurance Agency, serving our insurance needs since 1936 with honesty and integrity.
Are you looking for an experienced insurance company? Van Dyke Rankin, headquartered in Brenham, with new offices on the North Earl Rudder Freeway and Bryan, offers full service lines, including coverage for your business, home, auto, and health. Call Van Dyke Rankin and Bryan at 846-8500 or visit their website at vandykerankin.com. Get a comparison quote and be on your way to a win-win relationship with Van Dyke Rankin, a trusted insurance agency committed to integrity, honesty, and doing it right. Call 846-8500 to find out if Van Dyke Rankin and Company is right for you.
Apple has done it again with another quarter of incredible profits. I'm Digital Pro Kim Commando. More coming up. It's April. Tax season is behind us, and it's finally starting to warm up. But before you head outside, why not protect what you keep inside? Carbonite automatically backs up your digital files for you all year long. Every song, every photo, every business document. That's why I use Carbonite both at home and here at the show. Protect what's important before you go out. Join me and back up with Carbonite. Visit Carbonite.com today and use promo code Kim to get 2 free bonus months. That's Carbonite.com, promo code Kim.
Tired of paying too much for cable TV? All those channels that you never use. Now, there's the Commando Indoor Amplified HD Antenna. There's no reason to keep paying for expensive cable TV. You'll get your primetime TV shows and the news and sports you love for free. The Commando Indoor Amplified HD Antenna. 1080 high definition, over-the-air television signals. Find out more and get your Commando HD Antenna at GetKim.com. That's GetKim.com.
I don't think there's any question that Apple is fast on its way to becoming the world's first company worth more than $1 trillion. That's right, $1 trillion. The company's quarterly profits report this week was stratospheric. Shareholders should be ecstatic. But what's not being said bears notice, too. For instance, the big news was not the Apple Watch. Don't get me wrong, the watch will eventually be successful. The big news is still the iPhone. Sales are great, and in China, up 71%. The Mac is doing well. iPad sales are still in a decline. But it's interesting to note that once upon a time, not long ago, Apple was working on an integrated Apple TV screen, one that would combine the technology of the Apple TV unit, Siri voice commands, and a big HD screen. That product should be coming soon. The iPhone, though, remains Apple's greatest achievement. Get all the breaking tech news updated all the time at Commando.com. That's K-O-M-A-N-D-O.
The Kim Commando Show is brought to you by TexasKubotaDealers.com. Save big on Kubota products during the More Power to You sales event. Visit TexasKubotaDealers.com.
WTAW News Time is 8:38. It's 55 degrees right now at the studios. We'll take a look at your forecast coming up after the news. Good morning, I'm Patrick Zeiner. This summer's list of concrete work and street work in Bryan was approved unanimously by the Bryan City Council after another attempt was made to include a multi-million dollar makeover of East Martin Luther King. Mayor Jason Byinski made the motion to accept the $3.5 million list drafted by the city staff.
Just because Councilmember signs that they don't come to the council meetings and tell you it needs to be done doesn't mean it needs to be done. We take the politics out of it. That's why I go by our city staff's recommendation on these, so it's not my pet list of what needs to be done.
A divided council approved building a trail going around the former Kemp School, which a developer is turning into an office building surrounded by vacant land for future homes. Three councilmen talked about the $142,000 going towards a different trail connecting the current Kemp Carver to apartments on Sandy Point Road near the Brazos County Detention Center.
We haven't done anything to move that trail through the woods forward.
For the safety and welfare of our school children, There's no question how I would vote. I'd vote to condemn it.
You know, if we give him away this, then we kind of have no leverage for him to do the trail behind Forest Park Apartments.
Mike Sutherland voted with the 5-2 majority for the Ronnie Jackson Trail, while Al Sines voted no, along with Rafael Pena. Nearly $28 million of construction projects addressing infrastructure on the Texas A&M campus will be considered during today's Board of Regents meeting.
The regents have been asked to allow the start during the next 2 months on four different groups of projects. There's more than $11 million targeted to reduce energy consumption at 27 buildings. Another $7 million proposed to replace underground utility lines and cooling towers. There's another $5 million to replace water distribution lines affecting Corps of Cadets dorms in the south side of the main campus. And there's a $4 million electrical substation located on Agronomy Road. That and the underground utility replacements are supposed to be finished by May of next year, the energy-saving improvements in June of 2016, and all the water replacement lines by January of 2017. In other business, the regents consider an executive session a couple of things that might lead to final action in the open meeting. One is in addition to the 10-year agreement made last year with the private operator of Easterwood Airport. And the board considers recommendations for more student housing on the flagship campus. And as a part of that, acquiring 55 acres of land at an undisclosed location in Brazos County. And the regents are being asked to change the design of the seal of the system and the flagship campus. It would be the first adjustment since the originals were adopted almost 52 years ago. The Texas Star on the logos would be replaced with a beveled T in the Capitol Block A&M the university has been using in other branding. The background information did not offer any explanation for the request. Bill Oliver, Newstalk 1620, WTAW.
Details are in short supply for two overnight incidents. Shortly before 11:30 last night, College Station police responded to a fight at a residence on Dartmouth, south of the Express Stop convenience store at the intersection of Southwest Parkway. The victim, who had non-life-threatening injuries, initially told police she had been robbed of money, but later refused to cooperate or identify the suspect. Other witnesses were only able to say the suspect was male. Another report for an aggravated assault came around 2 this morning. CSPD arrived on College Main, north of Tradition on Northgate Apartments, and found the victim with a laceration above his eye. He told officers the unknown suspect had thrown a champagne bottle at him after an argument, then fled on foot. The victim was taken to a hospital by a friend for treatment of non-life-threatening injuries. When a large-scale military training exercise comes to Brazos County this summer, they'll be monitored by the Texas State Guard. Governor Abbott has announced the Guard commander will keep him informed about the Jade Helm operation. The order, which you can read on our website at WTAW.com, comes the day after those in charge of the training met a standing-room-only crowd in Bastrop. Opponents who attended denounced Jade Helm as a prelude to martial law and say the commanders behind the realistic training exercise cannot be trusted. The Special Operations Command will be training at the Texas A&M Riverside campus and the Teeks Fire Field for a week starting August 15th. There's another round of tire and rim thefts in Bryan. Police received 5 reports on Monday, each with a loss of between $2,000 and $6,000. The victims live on Park Hampton Drive, Tiffany Park Circle, and Aldine Drive. An off-duty officer in Houston is in intensive care after being brutally stabbed at a Walmart. Quick-thinking Good Samaritans are credited with saving her life.
The unidentified Houston Community College police officer was just working security at a Walmart when witnesses say a man tackled the officer and began stabbing her with a hunting knife. One shopper stepped in and knocked him down, and then others got involved. Fritz Guthrie is a spokesperson for the college.
We are very, very grateful to the people in Walmart who took over immediately and tended to her care and probably saved her life.
The officer had to go through 6 hours of surgery, and police arrested the man who attacked her. Kelly Weiss, TSN News.
A newly elected judge on the Texas Court of Criminal Appeals halted last night's execution of an inmate convicted of stabbing a corrections officer to death more than 15 years ago. Judge Burt Richardson, who presided at the trial of 35-year-old Robert Pruitt, heard from defense attorneys who asked for DNA testing on the piece of metal used to kill 37-year-old Daniel Nagel at a South Texas prison. The location has been changed for Friday night's Brazos County Relay for Life. Event chair Jennifer Newsom says due to wet grounds at Coulter Field, the relay will be at the Brazos County Expo.
We do want you all to join us at 7 o'clock. We'll have survivor caregiver recognition that evening, as well as luminary ceremony at 10.
After accepting a proclamation at last night's Bryan City Council meeting, Newsom reported donations have topped $86,000. This year's relay, at last check on their website, includes 463 participants and 56 teams. WTAW News Time is 844. It's 56 degrees. We'll have more news for you today at noon. I'm Patrick Zeiner, News Talk 1620 WTAW.
Have you heard? There's a clean, modern venue with ample meeting space in town, and it's yours, the Brazos County Expo. From business meetings and banquets to large-scale conferences and trade shows, the Brazos County Expo is the perfect space for your event. Drawing attendees is easy. 80% of the Texas population lives within 180 miles of our community. The Brazos County Expo. It's local. It's yours. Book it. Call 823-3976 or visit brazoscountyexpo.com for more information.
Ready to make the commitment to be healthier, to be stronger, to feel better? Then here's the number to call, 693-6100. That's Super Slow Zone. You know the slogan, minutes a week, in shape for life. And that's exactly what it's all about. You stop in, try the machines out. They have some new machines as they've changed their location. They're still right there on Rock Prairie Road in the medical complex by the Med, but they're now in the West Side building right there on the first floor. But they're pieces of equipment they haven't had before. And as a result, you go in, you try the equipment out, you find what you're looking for in exercise. Then they take a brief medical history, and you're on your way. 693-6100. You're on your way to a healthier you so that you can feel better every day. You go in and you work out a couple of times a week. After a while, it shifts down to one time a week. But what you always get is attention, one-on-one work. That's what makes Super Slow Zone different. Minutes a week in shape for life. Call them at 693-6100, Super Slow Zone.
Congratulations to Cornerstone Home Health, voted Best Home Health Agency in the 2014 Best of the Brazos. Cornerstone Home Health provides an effective continuum of care at home, from skilled nursing and therapists to loving caregivers to help with bathing, companionship, med management, Alzheimer's care, and more. Cornerstone Home Health brings many of the services offered in a hospital or nursing home to individuals in their own homes. Call Anthony Fava, Texas A&M class of 06. For a free consultation, 776-5620. Cornerstone Home Health.
Tag, it's yours.
Aggie students, faculty, and staff, it's time for Tag. Register for your 2015-2016 parking permit at transport.tamu.edu by July 7th.
Just point, click, permit, tag, it's yours. Couldn't be quicker or easier.
Log on to transport.tamu.edu 24/7. Don't wait. Register for your 2015-2016 parking permit now.
Texas A&M Transportation Services, moving forward for you.
This is Bravo Brazos Valley. I'm Katie Dempsey, joined today by Wade Beckman from Shipwreck Grill and Chad Hanks from the Crawfish Hole. The Shipwreck Crawfish Boil is coming back. It's going to benefit the 100 Club again. So tell us about the details. What do people need to know?
The event kind of got started 3 years ago when we lost a couple of Bryan firefighters and two were critically injured. And Chad and I, along with the Bryan Police Officers Association and other community folks, put together a benefit. And we raised $56,000 between all the people that participated, a whole bunch of people. And it was something we really, really enjoyed giving back. And the next year we decided that that was something we just needed to keep going with. So had a great time and decided to make it bigger and better this year.
Mm-hmm. You know, I approached Wade last year about the cook-off. I know my brothers had success on in Houston with them, with the popularity of them. And so we decided with the 100 Club, as I provided in the past, that it would be a good, great organization to give back to. And it's an organization that started in Houston. Any line-of-duty death with police or firefighters, they donate a substantial amount of money to the families, kind of get them through the financial cost of the funerals and to help pay some of the bills off and things like that. So it's just an organization that really supports the families of, and they cover a very wide area in Texas, you know, so it's, and when something happens, you know, they definitely give back. With Brian Bachman and Lieutenant Wallace and Pickard, seeing what they did for them was a big reason why we wanted to continue to give back, because it, you know, within a couple of years, they helped us out a lot, so we wanted to, in turn, give it back to them.
Yeah, I wasn't even aware they actually reached this far down. I think a lot of people weren't aware. You know, you see the stickers when you drive around Houston, but when it actually had tragedy here in Bryan College Station, it was just amazing to see the outpouring of support here, but also to know that there's an organization that comes in and steps up that huge, and we want to help support that.
And there are a lot of ways that you can come out and you can do just that. So, Wade, is it going to work like the crawfish boils in the past where you've got some people who are on teams, you can sign up to that, or you can just show up day of with your family
and enjoy the fruits of the team's labor?
We do. It's going to be 15 to 20 teams. We do have a few team slots available. You'll want to get that in quick. We're also pre-selling tickets. It's a limited number of tickets you can buy either at Chad's Business, the Crawfish Hole, or at Shipwreck Grill. Those are $25 and include 2 pounds of crawfish. Or you can wait till the event. There will probably be a limited amount that we can let in at the event. It'll be a $10 donation, 100% going to the 100 Club. And you can go to our website at Shipwreck Grill, and we have all the details on the teams and the event and tickets and that kind of thing.
So if you pre-buy your tickets, you are guaranteed entry. If you just show up day of, there's a possibility it could be full to capacity. So what time is this all going to start?
We're going to start on Sunday, May 17th, and we will do it similar to we have in the past. We'll have a Zydeco band out there during the day, and then we're going to have a big headlining band, Cowboy Mouth, late afternoon. Doors open at 11. The crawfish will be ready at noon, and we'd like to a special thanks out to CC Creations, Commerce National Bank, and House of Tires, who are all co-sponsoring with the Bryan Police Officer Association, Crawfish Hole, and Shipwreck Grill.
And this is an all-day event, so bring the kids, bring your friends.
Absolutely.
The whole crew.
Absolutely. We're hoping to grow it a little bit every year. We want it to be a huge family fun festival.
Just really appreciate everybody's support over the past few years, and hope everybody can make it out that weekend.
To find out more about the Shipwreck Crawfish Boil benefiting the 100 Club, visit shipwreckbcs.com. I'm Katie Dempsey, and this is Bravo Brazos Valley.
Ron, tell me, you offer the beautiful guarantee here at Aggie Lane Carpet One. What is the beautiful guarantee?
The beautiful guarantee really says that you are going to love your carpet, or we'll replace it for free. We want you to love the style that you chose, and if you're not happy with it, we want you to let us know.
Well, no one has that kind of guarantee.
In the United States, we're the only ones that have a guarantee like that.
Come see us today at Aggie Lane Carpet One, next to Harley Davidson on Highway 6.
News Talk 1620 WTAW. Y'all awake? You there? Hey, are you? Huh?
Yeah.
All right, okay.
Yeah.
Huh?
Work.
You must be exhausted.
It's okay. That's what we do. There's a reboot of the $6 billion man in the works.
Yep.
Mark Wahlberg. Going to play the Steve Austin
part. That'd
be
a good one.
It may be. We'll see how that works out. I'm hoping that it works. So the next time you go to the supermarket, take note of all the different brands of dishwashing liquids, because there are dozens of them. Names you know, store brands, and generics. And while most people probably have their favorite brand, the question is there really a difference when it comes to washing dishes in the sink? Consumer Reports put a dozen brands through their paces, testing for their ability to clean and cut through grease.
That's such a cool company.
What's that?
Our
Consumer
nonprofit,
Reports?
Nonprofit, yeah.
Yeah. That'd probably be a fun place to work. That and UL Laboratories, yeah.
Yeah.
they used dirty panes of glass and used a machine to scrub the glass so each dishwashing liquid got the exact same test. The results? No discernible difference.
Wow.
They all performed well. So the advice from Consumer Reports is just kind of buy the cheapest one, whatever's out there. Yeah, or whatever's on sale.
Interesting.
Well, and I have often wondered that. I really have. And I think Dawn has done an outstanding job.
Oh, yeah.
Because they use the visuals of television, and then they took that over to print ad where they'd have that grease on the colored grease on top of the water, and they put the Dawn in, and it disperses it. I mean, wow! They did that basically without a word, and it worked well. But Consumer Reports has apparently busted them. So go for the 88 cent stuff, that'll work.
Spring is here, and so is the BCS Home Builders Association's 2015 Spring Parade of Homes, sponsored by James Conant Fireplaces and Insulation and Guarantee Bank and Trust. The parade begins Saturday and Sunday, April 25th and 26th, and finishes May 2nd and 3rd. Find your new home or come out to see the new trends in home products, construction, and design. Builders and their representatives can visit with you about purchasing or designing your dream home. Your Parade of Homes map can be found at bcsbuilders.org, in the Eagle newspaper, and theeagle.com. Don't forget, the Spring Parade of Homes, April 25th and 26th, then May 2nd and 3rd.
Hi, I'm Brian Windham.
And I'm Allison Windham.
And we're Windham Construction.
Remodeling is a story. It has a beginning, middle, and an end. The beginning is planning and design, the middle, quality construction, and the end, your happily ever after. If you're ready to write your story, we can help you get it done. Windham Construction provides good quality, dependability, and great results. Whether you want to remodel your kitchen or build an addition, it's a great time to get started. Call us today. Windham Construction, 324-8596.
If you need an affordable Kubota tractor to get the job done, and you need it now, come see Vernon and the guys at Norman G. Tractor. At Norman G. Tractor, you'll find a huge selection and great prices on all Kubota tractors and utility vehicles. Norman G. Tractor has the new Kubota L2501 HST 25 horsepower tractor with four-wheel drive, Kubota front end loader, 5-foot land pride shredder, and box blade with teeth. Priced with a $300 factory rebate, $700 implement rebate, and a $500 cash rebate, making your price $18,895 or $247 per month. Norman G. Tractor asks you, why buy used when you can buy used with prices and payments as low as these? Norman G. Tractor is aggressively pricing all equipment bought with your new tractor. So now is the time to make the drive to Norman G. Tractor. Voted best of the Brazos since 2002. Remember to shop the internet specials too at normangtractor.com. Norman G. Tractor, located at the corner of Highway 39 and OSR in Norman G., Texas. And remember, nobody beats Norman G. Tractor.
Good morning. We have 4 minutes till News Talk 1620 WTAW. Ontario, Canada man in his 60s facing several charges after being pulled over while driving a van without doors, without windows, and without license plates. The trifecta. The driver was pulled over on the side of the street when an officer noticed the man's 2000 Dodge Caravan had no license plates. Then the officer noticed the minivan had no sliding doors on the side, and the rear windows were missing. Several items sticking out of the open doors. A wooden stool was strapped to the van's roof, and a triangle showing slow-moving vehicle was tied across to the back of the van where the license plate should be. Never mind, I'm just driving slowly.
Wow.
I guess so. Let's see. A Friends reunion has not happened, the TV show, and won't ever happen because one of the original six cast members never comes through when it's time to get together. According to the stars, the interview, who were interviewed, they said it's David Schwimmer.
Oh, him?
Yeah.
Oh, what a nerd.
Jennifer Aniston, Matt LeBlanc, who's in that show called Episodes, which is funny, by the way.
Yes, just it is terribly
watch
funny.
Watch that and laugh. Lisa Kudrow, Matthew Perry, and herself haven't been in the same room together since the show ended in 2004. Fans, of course, hoping for the reunion movie, but it won't be realized because, quote, we've gotten about 80% there, and there's always one person who flakes out at the end. She said, I'm not going to name names, but it could be Schwimmer. Which, yep, means basically she named names.
Yeah, she did.
Okay, all right. Is Joni Mitchell in a coma? Have you heard about this?
No.
This is very strange. Joni Mitchell is not unconscious, contrary to previous reports. There was a statement that came out yesterday that said a friend of hers for 44 years had basically asked to be the conservator of all of her belongings and also to make decisions for her because she has no family. And she was supposedly non-responsive in a coma. That came out about 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon. Then on the website last night, her website, JoniMitchell.com, it said everything's fine. I don't know. I don't know. We just see. You know, it's California. They do things differently out there. Just saying.
When you need a plumber, you need someone who offers every service in the book, from faucets, sinks, and toilets to backflow, leak detection, and sewer cleaning. That's my dad, Ed Phillips Plumbing. You also want the finest customer service. Again, that's my dad, Ed Phillips Plumbing. And since plumbing problems never pop up at opportune times, you want 24-hour service. Don't worry. You can call my dad, the real 24-hour plumber, Ed Phillips Plumbing, 731-1500, or click edphillipsplumbing.com. Ed Phillips Plumbing, serving the Brazos Valley for over 10 years.
Coffee in the morning for some people is a very serious thing. Without it, they're groggy and grumpy for the early part of their day. If you're one of these people, you can appreciate the value of a good cup of coffee. If you're the boss of these people, you can appreciate Twin City Coffee Service. For over 25 years, you've counted on Twin City Coffee to provide the best coffee and filtrated water service in the Brazos Valley. Call Mike or Troy to see how they can help you enhance your break station with their refreshing coffee, tea, and filtrated water. Call 779-3928. Twin City Coffee Service.
News Talk 1620 WTAW. Maybe not the sharpest knives in the drawer. Pizza thieves in Alaska. John Cusada and Louis Uzeva. That's John Lewis. Broke it into a warehouse in Nome, and they stolen several cases of frozen pizza worth about $1,100. While police were investigating the burglary, they received a call from the thieves offering to sell the pizzas to the on-duty officers. They were arrested on second-degree burglary charges.
Dum, 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 dum.
I mean, like, let's steal the pizzas and then call the police and see if they want them?
Everybody knows he should have done it with donuts.
Yeah. Psst. Hey, you want to buy some really cheap frozen pizzas? All right, on this date in 1967, after refusing induction into the U.S. Army, citing religious reasons, Muhammad Ali stripped of his boxing title, 1967. Burt Reynolds and Lonnie Anderson were married on this date in 1988. Hair opened on Broadway in 1968, and they started tearing down the Brandenburg Gate with a wrecking ball on this date in 1990. It's 9 o'clock, WTAW, College Station, Brian.